those that hear and believe it. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. We thank you, Lord God, that you blessed us going in and coming out. We thank you, Lord, that you lifted us, Lord God. And Father, we thank you that you made us the head and not the tail. We thank you that you blessed us in our storehouses. And Lord, you blessed us in our bodies and in our minds. And you blessed our children. You blessed all of our seed. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you, Lord God. You didn't have to do those things, but you did. And some things without us asking, you took care for us. And we want to thank you for every one of those things. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're about to say to us and do in us and through us, Father. We thank you. Thank you for anointing my lips of clay and, Lord, taking this imperfect vessel and putting a perfect word in it and having a perfect anointing upon it. Father, we thank you now. We glorify you. We praise your name, Lord. Father, after you've healed and delivered, after you've set free, after you've helped us, and after you've blessed us, Father, we'll be careful to glorify, magnify, and praise your name. We'll join in with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy, God. You're holy, God. You're holy, and your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Want to use this morning for a thought and a title tag for this message. The sacrifice of real worship. The sacrifice of real worship. Thank God. Maybe you don't know anybody that has ever recovered from whatever you have. Maybe you don't know anybody that you can think of that went through what you're going through and came out smelling like a rose. You don't know anybody that's been through the fire like you are in it right now and came out unburned. But guess what? That because you don't know anybody don't mean that God can't do it. Guess what? The God that I serve can do anything but fail, lie, and that I wish I had about two or three people, and we can have church that realize that God can do anything but fail. God can open up windows. He can open up doors. He can move mountains. There's nothing too hard for God. Oh, come on and say amen. Let me borrow from grandmama. She said, I won't doubt him because I know too much about him. I know that he's able. I know that he can do it. I know. Oh, come on and say amen. I know whom I believe. I know my Redeemer lives. And Job said, when I am tried, I'll come forth as pure gold. Do I have anybody in here today? Come forth as pure gold. Hallelujah. Time of separation. And Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they both went, both of them, they went together. They walked together. And that, what that means now is just insinuating that they were in agreement about going to worship. We need to be in agreement when we come to worship. We don't need to be scattered in our minds all over the place. We need to have an agreement so that when we go to worship, we need to have an agreement that we're going to go in and we're going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We're going to enter into his courts with praise. We're going to be thankful unto him and bless his name and tell people how good God is. Amen. And we need to be in agreement. They walk together. How can two walk together except they what? Agree. So whatever, and look at the faith of Isaac. Look at the faith of Isaac. Abraham trusted the Father in heaven. Isaac trusted his father. He said, Father, I'm going to follow you and go with you wherever you want me to go. When he began to trust Isaac, and don't you know God saw his trust, that he trusted Abraham. Since he trusted Abraham and Abraham trusted God, that was all, they were all walking in faith. Come on and say amen. And so lastly, we look at the total sacrifice. We understand that he tested him for total submission, and that is a time of separation. Amen. We have to separate sometime. Amen. There's some friends that we just got to part with sometime. There's some people we got to just part. I was just thinking the other day, I said, you know, all the preacher friends I used to have, oh, I mean, I've a slew of them. And I remember 30 or 40 of them I could talk to anytime, and I would get calls all during the day, all time of night, just on the phone with them and going to see them, and they seeing me. But then I thought about it. It ain't but about two or three that I talk to now. And I realize that it's not nothing bad. It's just that I separate. And ain't nothing wrong with separation. Because they may not be going the way you're going. And there's nothing wrong with the path that they're taking, because that's their path, and I ain't going to judge their path because I don't know what it takes. But I know what my path is, and he'll lead me in the path. And since I know my path, I just need to focus on the way I'm going. Amen. Here. Look, he says in verse number 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, Father, he said, here am I. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but wherefore is the lamb for the burnt offering? So now while we're walking, I ain't questioning you the whole time. Usually if we left home, and the thing about it is that you know that Abraham had taught his son how to worship, because he knew the elements of worship. He knew what it took to worship. He knew that it had to have a lamb. I wish I had somebody. What are you teaching your children? Are you teaching them how to worship God? Do they know what it takes to worship? Can they get a prayer through? Can they, in a time of need, can they come to the Lord? Can they come boldly to the throne of grace and get? Do you teach your children any of that? Don't let them leave home without it. It's important. Amen. So he says he's beginning to question his daddy. He said, Daddy, we got the wood, because notice what he did, and it's going somewhere here, because it's the Bible says that the Old Testament is a shadow of the things to come in the New Testament. In other words, it was dark in the Old Testament and you can see the shadows, but it had a little bit of light. But in the New Testament, the light, the full light is revealed. And who is that light? Jesus Christ. So this is a picture of Jesus, because Abraham represents the entire children of Israel, or the Jews, and he laid the wood on the back of Isaac. Laid the wood on Jesus. All right, so here it is. He says, now you carry this up this hill. But as they're walking and he's carrying it, he asked him, he said, where is the lamb that we're supposed to use? Because look like we're not going to worship properly. If we don't have what we're supposed to, we can't worship God properly. Yeah. See, we got to understand that God has a way of a set order of things. And so we need to get in order with the way God wants to worship. I'll get back to that part in a minute. So they go up and he asks, where is the lamb? And Abraham says in verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. Say himself. A lamb for a burnt offering, so that they both went together. So look at what happens here. Now he begins to tell him, he said that me and the lad gonna come back, knowing that he's supposed to sacrifice the lad, the son. And he says to the son that even though we don't have a lamb, God is going to provide himself. Don't you know that God did that very thing? Abraham is a prophet. Abraham is a man of God. God provided himself. So who was Jesus? Jesus was the Lamb of God. That's what John said. John said, behold, the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. And who was Jesus? The Bible said he was the Word of God. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus himself was the Lamb. God himself was the sacrifice. God himself was the Lamb. So he says, he's going to provide himself a burnt offering. They kept going together. In verse 9, and they came to the place where God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. Laid the wood in order. There's a certain way that he had to lay the wood in order for him. First off, he built an altar. So that means that in doing worship, he had to pray. He had an altar. He had to sacrifice to God. He had to talk to God while he lay. And that's what we need to do first. In order for us to properly worship God, we need to make sure that our prayer life is right. Amen. And he set the wood in order. There are some things in our life sometimes that are out of order. Sometimes those things are out of order. And so we need to set our life, our fleshly life, we need to set it in order to properly worship God. But we come and we offer God anything. We offer God whatever. You know, I was talking to somebody. I had a little bit of debate one time. We were a few preachers, and I was the only one standing on this one thing. They were talking about, well, you know what? It's okay. I like those certain songs, you know, where you take some of those songs that used to be worldly songs, and you just turn around and you sing to God. That's all right. I think that's a good thing. And I was like, no, I don't really like that. Why? See, you just old-fashioned. I said, no, I ain't old-fashioned. I'm God-fashioned. Amen. Because see, if I want to listen to R&B or the blues, I might as well just listen to that. Because when I listen to something that's been taken from that and then turned around, I still don't hear them talking about God. I still hear what I hear. I hear what I heard back then. That's why sometimes I can't listen to some of the Kirk Franklin stuff, because I hear what I heard back then. I don't hear what he's talking about now. And that's just, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I'm telling you what I'm telling you. And so they got to talking about it. And I told them, I said, but what about the scripture that says for us not to offer unto God what's already been offered to a devil? If it already been offered to somebody else, why would we take that and we take it and turn around and offer it to God? The Bible says, sing unto the Lord or what? We can get a song that's totally dedicated to God. We don't have to borrow from them. We can keep that separated. If you want to listen to Bobby Bland and you want to listen to B.B. King, then you listen to him over here. But you don't try to take B.B.'s song and make it to God. Because that's not the origin of it. And in today's society, we don't care about the origin of nothing. We do all kind of stuff and don't know what the origin come from. We don't know if it was a devil-worshipping cult that was doing it. If we look at it and we say, oh, that's cute, we're going to do it too. We don't even know what the origin is. And I admonish you young people, before you start getting in these trends, go and find out what's the origin of this mess. Because you don't know if you're doing some type of demonic ritual or not. My people perish for lack of knowledge. So here it was. I'm going to get out of your way because I think I'm boring you. So he says in verse 9, he says that he built an altar, laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac. Now by this time, they'd gotten up the mountain. And Isaac now finds out you're the lamb. You're the sacrifice. And Isaac is big enough and old enough to say, oh no, old man. Because remember, Abraham is above 120 years old. All right? Remember that. He's way above that. So, and you got a young man who's 100 years younger than you. And you mean to tell me you can bind this young man? No. The reason why he was able to do it is because Isaac was willing to trust God with his daddy. He was willing to trust God with his dad. And when you develop that kind of relationship with your child, and I know we try to be friends with our children and we try to make sure they're happy and stuff like that, but when you develop the kind of relationship with them that teaches them that you got to be able to trust God the same way that I trust God, when you've done that, you've been successful. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I don't care if they mess up. I don't care what they do. The Bible says if you train up the child in the way that it should go, when they're old, they shall not depart from it. Look at us. We was, I know, look at me. I know what I did. There's some stuff I ain't going to even testify about. Because I know what I did. But look at, he said he would not, when he is old, he's not going to depart from. So now I got a little gray and I realize I'm not going to leave this way that I'm in now. I did it back then, but if I didn't do it then, oh well, I ain't going back to try to do it no more. It's done. It's a done deal. If I missed out on it 20-some years ago, I ain't going back to try to find out what it feel like, what it look like, what it act like, and how it is. Amen, y'all. And so he says that now they've come to the place, and we got to get to the place where God wants us. We can't choose until God meet us over there. We got to go where God wants us to be. We got to do what God wants us to do. And so he begins to put the wood in order. He bound Isaac. And he put him upon the altar. We need to put our children on the altar. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife, and he was ready to sacrifice Isaac. He was ready to kill him. But then all of a sudden he heard a voice from heaven call his name twice to stop him. Abraham was in, he was ready to just kill. You know how it is. Now you got to understand, I'm going to paint this picture for you, because here it is, this man is about to kill his only son. He's about to destroy him. He hadn't seen the other, he don't know what the other son is, but this is his promised son. This is the one, the thing that God told him you can have if you trust me. The thing that God, he didn't even ask God for, but God said, I think I'm going to give it to you anyway. I wish I had somebody. He said, I'm going to take this one who I promised you that when you have this one, that you're going to have a seed that can't be numbered. Now, God, you promised me a lineage. You promised me a seed. You promised me nations. And you're going to take the one thing that can give me what you promised? Lord have mercy. And so with tears in his eye, with his heart full of grief, he decided that still I'm going to trust God. And sometime with tears in our eyes, sometime with our heart grieving and broken, sometime we just got to say, you know what? I'm going to still trust God. Anybody had to trust him? Even though I can't trace you, even though I got tears in my eye, even though I feel like this is just so wrong, I'm still going to trust you, God. Even though I feel like this is not the right thing, I'm still going to do the God thing. Do I have anybody in here today that say, I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do? Come on and say hallelujah. And so he took him, he got ready to let the knife go. And then God said, hold on, Abraham. Do you know that it's good that God can speak to you in a split of a second, in a crisis moment? Oh, come on and say, man, God can speak to you at the end of the, oh, come on. And before your breakdown, God can speak a word to you to give you a breakthrough. Before your situation look like it's going to take you out, and God all of a sudden opens his mouth and speak a word. That's why we need to have our ear attentive to the word of God. That's why when we come to worship the Lord, we need to make sure I come to listen to God. I didn't come to text, and I didn't come to play on Facebook. I didn't come on and say, man, to get on Twitter. I didn't come to talk with you. I didn't come to play with your baby. I didn't come to do all of this other stuff. I came to hear a word from God, because this is my time of worship. At the time of worship, that's when God spoke again. God didn't speak to him no other time. God spoke to him and told him that I want you to sacrifice your son. I don't know when it was. It could have been during prayer time, or it could have been when he worshiped alone. Long time before that, but here it was 3 days later, he didn't hear nothing from God. You to believe, I believe in my own mind's eye that for 3 days he was walking and said, God, you sure about this? God, do you really want to do this? God, will you want to change your mind? God, I believe we can take one of these donkeys. We can take one of these other young men. He took two other young men. Hopefully that'd be my ram in the bush. No. He said, no, I want you to still do it. He didn't speak to him and tell him nothing different. And my friend, let me tell you, if God has spoken to you and told you something, you do the last thing that God said. I don't care what people say along the journey. I don't care who you have walking with you and told you something different. Whatever you heard God say last, you keep doing it until you hear God say something else. And because he may tell you to do something difficult, don't mean that he's not going to stop you at a time. Don't mean that he's not going to speak to you during worship and tell you something else. But look at what God did. God said, hold on. Hold your hand right there, Abraham. He said, I see now. And all God was doing was testing him. He said, I see now that you would not even withhold your only son from me. And just because you wouldn't do that, I'm telling you, don't touch a hair on the boy's head. I'm going to protect the boy. I'm going to love the boy just like he was my very own. I wish I had somebody. And so immediately the Bible says that Abraham looked, verse 13, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket. I know I used to hear the preacher say, why are you going up on this side? Your blessing is coming up on the other side. I used to hear him say that. Why are you climbing on one side? Then God got your blessing climbing on the other side, and y'all gonna meet on the top of the mountain. Now, I don't know about that stuff for sure, but it do sound good. But what I realize is that the blessing or the lamb or the ram was behind him. In other words, his blessing was tracking him down. His blessing was walking behind him. God, look, you gotta understand that if it's not before me, it might be behind me. I don't know. But as I'm walking, I'm not looking behind me. I'm looking at God, and God's just putting, the Bible say, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Oh, come on and say, man, all the days of my life. So whatever it is, it could be right behind you. You never know. But if you keep your eyes on God and you obey God, and at the moment that God speak to you, you know how it is. When God begin to speak, you look to see if anybody else is looking to hear what you heard. If anybody else is, did you hear what I heard, Brother Gus? No, I heard the Lord. And when I look at the corner of my eye in my peripheral vision, thank God for blessing me with peripheral, because I see a ram stuck in the thicket. Do I have anybody here? Do you know that that ram got stuck for some reason? He got stuck not because he was, a ram in the mountains ain't nothing. He can climb rocks and go high and you can't even get to it. But this ram somehow got stuck. He was placed in the thicket. He was put there by God. And we need to know that when we go through stuff, that God will put stuff right there for us. God, oh, Lord, have mercy in here. God will put what we need right in front of us or right behind behind us. He'll put it in the vicinity. But what we have to do is trust God. Wipe your eyes so you can see your blessing. Lord have mercy. You crying too much. Wipe your eyes so you can see. You can't see with all that stuff in your eye. Stop looking at other people's problems. You can't look and see what God has for you if you're looking at everybody else. If you're looking at their mess or their bless, you can't look at all of them and see what God has for you too. You got to trust in the Lord. Do I have anybody in here? Oh, I'm about to go now. And he says that Abraham, he says this, the ram, he was caught in the thicket. Now, this is also a picture of Jesus Christ, because what did they do to Jesus? They put a crown of thorns on his head. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, they put a crown of thorns on his head. So the ram had a crown of thorns. I wish I had somebody. And so he said, and he called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Now, we simply always say that the Lord will provide. Let me suggest some other things to you, because there always it's always more. Do you know that there are always more? There is always more. He gives us the seed, the blade, and then the full ear of corn. He gives us morning, noon, and night. There's always more. God does not stop at one thing. He had Ruth to go into the field. There's always more, and she began to glean from the field. Then Boaz told him to leave her a little extra in the field, and then she married Boaz, and she got the whole field. Don't you know there's always more? God always has more. So let's look at this just a little bit further and more. The word Jehovah Jireh, when we look at that, we say the Lord our God, he is our provider. But not only does it mean that he provides, but it means that the Lord sees. I wish I had somebody. Do you know that the Lord see what you're going through? The Lord see that you need those things, that the Lord see over your life, that he watches over you. I wish I had somebody in here. And so since the Lord sees, since the Lord watches, it was God's place of lookout. In other words, God is looking out for me. I wish I had somebody. It was the lookout. That's why they call it Pike's Peak. Pike climbed up there and said, this is my mountain so I can look out. I wish I had somebody. Moses went up on the mountain and he saw the promised land. So he went, look, God said, I'm here to look over and look out. Oh, come on and say amen. And not only does it mean that, but when we look at what it says here, he says, in the mount of the Lord shall it be seen. It not only means that God will see for you, but it means that if you're in the mount of God, if you're in the vicinity of worship, then you can see what God is doing. Lord have mercy. Y'all gonna help me, but that's all right. You can see what God has for you. I have not seen, ear have not heard, nor entered into the heart of man, but he revealed it by his spirit. So if I can worship and get caught up in the spirit, I can see what God has in store for me. I can see the things that God is gonna do. I can see the ram in the bush. Can you see Jesus in this text? I wish I had somebody here. And the Bible said the angel called out the second time and he said, I'm not gonna withhold, because you didn't withhold your son. I'm not going to withhold anything from you because you did what you're supposed to do. And he said, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. And your seed, and as the seed and the stars of heaven and the sand which are on the shore. Now before this, God told him that I'll make your seed as the sand. But now he told him, I'll make them as the star. I can't number the star. I don't know how many stars there are. I don't even know where the stars stop at. And God said, I'll give you that many. I wish I had somebody. Out of this one, I'll give you what many. Do I have anybody in this place? And he says, after he says that, he said, and you shall possess the gate of your enemy. So if I got an enemy, he better watch out, because I just might take what he got. I just might show up and sit at the gate and say, today it belonged to me, because God will give me houses that I didn't build. He'll give me land that I didn't buy. He'll give me a gate that I didn't put up. Do I have anybody in this house today? Oh, I wish I had a few people that said, let's have church up in here. And he said, and thy seed shall in all the nations of the earth be blessed. All because of this one thing in verse number 18. He said, all because you obeyed my voice. Do you know obedience is better than sacrifice? That's why God didn't let him sacrifice his son, because obedience is always better. I'll take your obedience over. I wish I had somebody here. And so what we can look at now is that the fact that what God said here, because you you didn't hold back your son, I'm not going to hold back my son. And my son came down through 39 prophets, 40 in two generations. My son took up an old rugged cross, put the wood on his back, and matter of fact, he went up the same hill that your son went up. He carried the same kind of wood that your son went up and carried. And when he got to the same spot that you was at, I wish I had somebody, this is believed to be the same spot in which Jesus was crucified. And while he was up there, the Bible said that Jesus died, the Lamb of God, but he didn't stay dead, because early Sunday morning he got up with all power in his hand. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, I believe today that I'm going to worship God genuinely. I'm going to understand how to worship, and I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to obey the voice of God. See, when you're a true worshiper, you don't mind obeying what God said. When you're a true worshiper, you don't mind doing what God wants you to do. When you're a true worshiper, you say, if I got to climb the mountain, then I'll climb the mountain. When you're a true worshiper, you'll say, I'm not tired yet. I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. When you're a true worshiper, you'll carry the wood, even if you know you're the sacrifice. The Bible says in Romans 12 and verse 1, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what we should be doing. Oh, come on and say amen here. Do I have anybody that said, I know God will. He'll be my ram in the bush. I know he'll make a way for me. I said, won't he do it? Come on, won't he do it? Won't God help you out? Won't God fix your problems? Won't he put a ram in your bush? Won't he give you something to sacrifice? Do I have anybody? Do you know that God is good? I said, do you know that he's able? Come on, have you tried him? Come on, have you ever tried him? Have he ever made a way for you? Have he ever given you a ram in the bush? Have he ever told you to do something and you obeyed him and he blessed your life? Well, you ought to tell somebody. You ought to say, won't he do it? Say, won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Come on and shout yes in here and give God some praise. Oh, come on and give God some glory and tell your neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not know two things, but one thing I know. I know he's all right. Why is he all right? Because he gave me Jesus, my battle axe in the time of battle, my shelter in the time of storm, my friend when I'm friendless, my mother when I'm mudless. Oh, come on and shout yes. My water when I'm thirsty, my bread when I'm hungry. Is Jesus anything to you? If the Lord has been good to you, you ought to say yes in here. You ought to touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, you've been sitting here all service. You ain't said a word. You're just looking like a zombie, but I'm here to wake you up and to let you know that God's been good. He's been better to me than I can be to myself, and if you trust him, he'll be good to you. Now smile at your neighbor and say, I may not be happy, but I got joy. I got joy. Do you have joy? He said, I came to give you joy. I came that you can get my joy, so that your joy might be full. And so I may not have happiness because I got some things happening around me, but I got joy. I got joy enough that when the supervisor's the devil, I still go to work because I got joy. I got joy enough when my family act funny, I still go around and give them joy. I got joy enough when my friends are few and my money is funny and my change is strange, I still come to church, lift up my hands and round my head back and say, I know he's all right. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. The sacrifice of true worship.
We know your hearts have burned within. by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.